Blog Talk Radio.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and times shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright cloud this morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this morning, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, Father, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this your word. So that, Father, we gain knowledge, wisdom, and walk close with our Lord and Savior. And Father, so that we can also walk in obedience unto thy word. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Our last study, we went through chapter 11, chapter 10 and 9, and we had started in to chapter 11 and got through verse 15. So we're going to be picking up here this morning with verse 16. And we're going to be dealing here in the beginning of our study this morning with Paul's suffering as an apostle and how he lets man know about boasting and things that way and how foolish it is, and dealing with him about his past. All right. 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool received me, that I may boast myself a little. But you see, we're told if we go to boasting of ourselves, that we're foolish. And Paul's saying to receive him as a fool so that he can boast about himself a little. He goes on here in 17, that which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. He let them know these things now that he's talking about is not of the Lord. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. 19. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. 20. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. See, that's all foolish work and really even foolish talk. Now, 21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Well, now, being bold is not bad, unless you're using that boldness to lift yourself up. But we are to speak boldly in the word of Almighty God and speak it as it is in truth. Now, 22. Are they Hebrew? So am I. Are they Israelite? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. And we're going to take a look here now. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5. Because here's what he's talking about. The reason he has claimed to be more Hebrew and then most all of them that's following him is trying to cut him down. He starts out here in 5 and says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching, you got to turn page, touching the righteous, which is in the law blameless. He was letting them know, see, about his background and all there. Now, as we go on to 23, are they ministers of Christ? Speak as a fool. I am more. In labor more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often. Those last two verses gives us a lot to really think about and to really get the meaning of. You know, there in 22, Paul boasts about his nationality. And the boast indicates that Paul's enemies were primarily Jews. On Paul's claim, you know, and we on his claim can check with Philippians 5 and find out a little more about his heritage and his background. And if his enemies are ministers of Christ, as they claim to be, he then is more. That's his claim. Because you see, discipleship cannot be purchased at bargain prices. And the cost enacted of the apostle, Paul is measured by the tribulation which follows. 40 stripes save one. In other words, he had received 39 stripes. And the Jews to inflict more than 40 stripes on an offender, they was not to do. And in their observance of Moses' law, they were in the habit of giving no more than 39, so as not to go over the limit of the law. They were in the habit of getting no more than those 39 stripes. We know, too, that in Acts 14:19, Paul was stoned and carried out of the city, left by the side, were dead. They thought he was dead. He wasn't, but they thought he was. He also suffered shipwreck. Paul penned this letter long before the shipwreck recorded in Acts 27. It must be reckoned that the incident of which he speaks finds their mention in Scripture only here. There are numerous occasions recorded in Acts 13:1. In 20 and 5, when Paul traveled by sea, and since Luke, the author of the book of Acts, did not accompany Paul much of that time, some of the incidents have been omitted from the account. Perils of rivers, along the road traveled by Paul, numerous rivers there seasonally swelled with floodwaters. To this day, they are legendary for the perils they pose for the travelers. And perils of robbers, the area from Perga to Antioch in Pisidia were especially known for their perils, fasting often. The context does not view this as the ritualistic observance practiced by the Pharisees. Rather, it is voluntary abstinence. Now, Paul was voluntary to fast. He would choose different times and all to fast, which is things that we need to be doing because they are answers we all need. And a lot of things will only come through fasting and prayer. But when you fast, you've got to add prayer with it. Now, there is a kind of a touch of honor here. No doubt, Paul's Jewish adversaries at Corinth made a practice of ritualistic fasting and took pride in it. And you see, when we fast and all, we're not to even tell anyone. Now, if somebody offers you something for you to tell them, well, no, right now I'm not partaking of anything. I'm on a fast. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't go around bragging about I'm fast. That just don't work. Now, verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. In other words, five times he had gotten 39 stripes. He'd been beaten five times. Thrice, three times, was I beaten with rods, and once was I stoned. And thrice, three times, I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, or in other words, in the sea. Now, 26. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own country, own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, fasting often, in cold and nakedness. This is the way Paul's life is lived. His apostleship, did it come cheap? Not hardly. He paid a very dear price for it there, didn't he? Now, he goes on here in 28, says, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, he carries that care within him. 29, who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. 31. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. 32. In Damascus, the governor under Artaeus, the king, kept the city of the Damascens with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. They kept a garrison of soldiers there at Damascus to catch Paul to apprehend him. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. And we know that actually they was like a harlot that let him down by basket that saved him. She is spoken about there in the book of Acts. All right, we have finished now with chapter 11. In chapter 12 is 21 verses. A lot of them are short. And we don't know actually just what all the Lord's going to bring out to us. But we will find out. And praise his holy name. Verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. 2. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knows such a one caught up, evidently now. He wasn't in the body. He was carried spiritually to the third heaven. 4. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. 5. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Now, he's speaking there about the 14 years ago, and the date is not precise enough to really pinpoint the exact time or event to which the apostle alludes. Some suggest that this occurred when he was stoned in Acts 14:19. Others date it to the time he was at Tarsus, waiting for the Lord to point out his work, somewhere between Acts 9, verse 30, and chapter 11, verse 25. Caught up means to snatch away. This term is used in regard to Philip in Acts 8:39. You know, these are words that a lot of times we don't really catch the meaning of. Now, we don't know exactly how this did work with him, because he didn't know. He didn't know whether he was in the body or he was out of the body. He was talking as if it was even some other man. But it wasn't. It was Paul. And as far as time, you know, to me, I would be more to believe it was at the time he was stoned. Because he was thought dead. And so they've had to check him. Evidently, he wasn't in that body. And they drug it out of the city and left him for dead. And I know when the Lord took me off of my deathbed and took me before the throne of grace, my family could find no pulse, no heartbeat. I was dead to them. When the Lord put me back in my body, my wife was still standing beside my bed, holding a cup of coffee she had fixed for me, crying. And when she seen me move, when I was put back in the body, and asked me if I was all right, I told her I was. At that time, I really was. I had no pain whatsoever. And I had been put back into a completely healed body. I didn't know at the time that I was dead, so she told me that they had been, her and my brother and all, had been checking me and they could find no heartbeat or no pulse. I was dead. She called my mother and dad to come because I was dead. They came to my house believing I was gone. So I'd say this is probably when he was taken to the third heaven, as he calls it, taken to paradise. He goes on here in 27. No, I'm over in chapter 4. I'm sorry. In verse 3, it says, "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." You see, when God takes you to places like this, there are things that you can tell, and there are things that you can't even tell people. Now, 6, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." He said, "I've been given a thorn in the flesh." You know, this thorn in the flesh, Paul's thorn in the flesh, is characterized further as a messenger of Satan. Just what Paul means by this is not really clear, and among the views suggested are, 1, temptations from the devil, and 2, Paul's opposition from the adversaries, and 3, some intense bodily pain, and 4, a reoccurring physical afflictions such as eye trouble, or 5, even some form of mental or psychological distress. Whatever the case, it was a tool of Satan, and it was painful. And it was accompanied by shame or embarrassment, to the apostle. A fairly strong argument can be sustained in favor of the view that it was attributable. See also Acts 13:9 and 23:1. Because you see, we know that Paul had been blinded there on the road to Damascus when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He was blinded there and had been blind for 3 days when the Lord sent one to him to open his eyes, you know. But you know, with me, as my footnote wrote there about that could be, I don't believe that was his thorn. I don't know what his thorn was because we're never told. But we do know that it was from Satan. We know it was troublesome. But the reason I don't believe it was blindness is, number one, God doesn't heal you halfway. And he healed Paul's eyes through that man to come to pray for him and lay his hands on him that the Lord sent. He doesn't do halfway work. No. But we really don't know what all of that was. Now, 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. 3 times he asked God to take it from him. And 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He wouldn't take it from Paul. But he told him that his grace was sufficient to hold him and to let him carry it. And at this time, we don't know whether God ever took it or not. Now, going on here, it says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, Paul was saying now, since God told him that his strength is made perfect in weakness because of his grace. Now, Paul is telling us here that he'll gladly bear it. Just keep it and bear it so that the power of Christ may rest upon him. Because he's not wanting to lose that power of Christ. Well, today man is trading everything to get rid of that power, to even keep from getting it. He's teaching things contrary to the Word of God. He's not spending time in God's Word. He's using excuses to stay out of it. And all, where he'd be a lot better if he had some infirmities along with the power of Almighty God, because the Lord would be there with him, giving him the strength and all to bear it, and even letting him bear it with joy inside. And you know, with these infirmities, I can tell you, you can have an infirmity and still have the joy of the Lord God inside you. I know. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. He takes what in infirmities? He takes pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When this body is weak, he is strong because of the Lord Jesus in him. Think about it. 11. I am become a fool in glory. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostle, though I be nothing. Regardless of what Paul is, he's letting them know that his apostleship is not behind any other apostle. In fact, we know that really, when it comes down to it, that apostleship of his was ahead of most of them. That's also why he is the author of most of the books of the New Testament. Most of them. Think about these things. And yet here was a man that was strictly against the Lord Jesus Christ and those that followed him. Now, 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. 13. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. He's letting them know that he was causing them some worry and some thoughts because he was not burdensome to them. He was taken from other churches, but not them. Not the Christian church, Corinthian church. Now, we found that a little earlier, where he was talking about he wasn't burdensome to them and wouldn't be. Now he's saying, forgiving that wrong. 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. He's letting them know, I'm still not going to be burdensome to you. He's not looking for anything they've got. He wants them to be that child of the living God. 15. And I will verily gladly spend and be spent for you. Well, we know that it takes work. It takes time and all to be what we need to be for God, to do his work, to reach those that we need to reach. and to be able to teach them and bring them to the knowledge that they need, and to be able to keep them straight. He goes on now. He says, through the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. 16. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. In other words, they were doing some things they wasn't supposed to be doing. Now Paul's getting on them to straighten them out. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? In other words, even those he would send to them when he couldn't be with them, they were not taking from them either. Now, 19. Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. All these things we do and speak to you is for your edifying, for you to be edified. Not to be for anything selfish for us. Now, 20. For I fear least, when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whispering, swellings, and turmoils. These are things Paul is not wanting to be going on when he does make it there. That's why he wrote them this letter. 21. At least when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they committed. You see, Paul knows what's been going on there, and a lot of it hasn't been good. Fornication, we know what that is. That's sexual sin that's going on among them. Lasciviousness is just a whole lot of different things. Small, trivial things, but shouldn't be going on at all. Paul's letting them know, I know about it. We've come to the end now of chapter 12, and we're going to stop here. Then we'll get in this evening, God willing. We'll finish up with chapter 13. And we may even get into the 13th, only 14 verses. And we may get into chapter 1 of Galatians. But we'll have to wait and see what the Lord has for us, and what he will, where he will lead us to. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we close your word, and we thank you for the word, Father, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for Israel. in Jerusalem, and we pray, Father, for peace to them. But even more so, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And that one day Israel will be known as the land for Jesus. This land is ours, Father. So much evil has been brought upon it. And by our own government, Father, those that are evil that are sitting in the offices of our government, Father, I pray for them to be removed and to be replaced by those that will serve you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, love the church, love your people and this country. And will work with us to help to bring this land of ours to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for those that is with us and for our family members, Father, that are walking in darkness. We all have them. They don't want to listen to us, Father. They really want nothing to do with us. Mother, we pray for them. We pray that the Holy Spirit will work for them to the point that they will learn that they need something more than themselves. They need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And that they will come to that knowledge, Father, and go to Him and repent and fulfill that plan of salvation and start traveling upon the road of righteousness. So that they too, Father, will be able to make heaven their own. That they will be a part of your family. Father, Tyrus and Dennis Lee, for Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, for James Taylor, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for myself, for my wife, Father, I'm praying, Father, for healing for all that is carrying any sickness, any disease, any weakness at all, to be healed, to give them strength, and to give them more desire to do more work for you, Father. Use them in mighty and great ways to bring in those from darkness to light, that light being Jesus, to be reconciled back to you, Father. Now, Father, as we separate this morning, be with each one of us as we travel through this day. Keep us in health and keep us safe. And bring us all back together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great one today. And be careful, all of you out there. And especially you that is on the road. That road can be risky and dangerous. Keep the Lord riding with you and stay safe. Have a great, great day.